You're listening to KFSK Petersburg, Petersburg Borough Assembly meeting live from the Assembly Chambers. Again, they're back down in the original Borough Assembly Chambers down on Main Street on Nordic Drive. It's 6 o'clock.
Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, providing knowledge, professionalism, and information on insurance issues, commercial or pleasure, boat and crew, Petersburg Insurance, offering asset protection on the water or at home.
Nothing there. I thought I heard a voice.
Yeah, she's
here.
Barely.
Sorry.
That's not a problem. We can't expect everything to go smoothly right off the first meeting in our new digs here.
Hey, don't touch that. Hey, get out of there. Don't touch.
For the assembly's benefit, all these mics are actually...
Well, a moment ago, they were calling the roll call, and the meeting's about to begin. You're listening to the Petersburg Borough Assembly meeting.
We're asking, please speak into them for the
live from the Assembly Chambers. Again, they've moved from the Hollingstad-Paratovich building up on 12th Street.
Okay, so
they're back in their original location down on the Nordic Drive location in the municipal building. And they're upstairs just where it always used to be.
For those listening on the radio, just bear with us. We're trying to get Cindy Logadakis back on the phone line here. So we'll we have six assembly members in the assembly chambers, and Vice Mayor Logadakis is trying to get to us on the phone, so we'll see how that goes. We'll continue with the meeting. It's now time for the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the administration of oath, and we will swear in our new police officer, Carl Tate. So can we please come forward and do that? Are you there, Cindy?
I am.
Perfect.
Carl Tate, solemnly affirm that you will support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Alaska and the ordinances of the Petersburg Borough, and that you will honestly, faithfully, and impartially perform the duties of police officer for the Petersburg Borough, Alaska, to the best of your ability?
I do.
Welcome. We're happy to have you.
Okay, nice. Welcome, yeah. Officer Tate.
Nice.
Okay, now we need approval of the meeting minutes from February 6, 2017. Is there any changes, or is there a motion to approve those meeting minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor of approving the minutes for February 6, 2017 for that regular meeting, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. We've approved those minutes. Is there any amendments or to today's agenda?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to put under assembly discussion the Hobart Bay dock.
Okay. We're going to add to discussion the Hobart Bay dock. If that's the only amendment, I'll entertain a motion for approval of the minutes as amended.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Greger, seconded by Member Wallhuter to adopt today's meeting agenda with the one amendment. All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Move forward. Next item on the agenda is item 6, public hearings. There are none listed on the agenda today. Next item 7, is bid awards. There are no bid awards listed today on the agenda. The next item is item 8, and that is visitors' views related to items on today's agenda. Is there anybody in the audience with views related to today's agenda? Please step to the podium, state your name, who you represent, and go from there.
Hi, I'm Dave Beebe. I'm representing the city of Kuprinoff, and appreciate this opportunity to address the potential funding issues coming from the Development Act. It was Economic Development Act, I believe, is EDA. It wasn't given. I'm not clear on what EDA stands for.
I'm not totally sure either. It's Federal Economic Development Association or something to that effect, I believe.
Well, at any rate, I see that the Petersburg Cake Road Access Project is part of that funding request for consideration, as well as the Kuprinoff Dock. And I would ask the Assembly to recall literally decades of public testimony related to the request for mainline ferry service and also recall the fact that the Highway Department responsible for the environmental impact statement essentially abandoned the project based on many factors, but not the least of which was public concern about completely revamping a ferry system that a great deal of public support for. The rationale that has been advanced on keeping this in that funding request has to do with, I guess you could say it gets reduced to the politics of fear, that there are members of the a more powerful political body that would just as soon cut our ferry system and eliminate the mainline ferry service. I would urge the Assembly to regard the likelihood, if you are to subscribe to this, as essentially achieving a self-fulfilled prophecy. And that prophecy is again, based on the politics of fear. All manner of considerations. So I would just urge the Assembly to please consider that they did have a strong support for the funding. And this falls certainly within the parameters of a shovel-ready project. And it certainly fits within and it would certainly also support economic development of the area because hundreds of tourists are using this dock in a very sad state of affairs, and this would be the perfect opportunity to take federal funding to see that the will of the Assembly and the will of the public so thank you for this opportunity to speak.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Beebe. Is there any questions of Mr. Beebe from any of the Assembly members? I have one question. Dave, you mentioned you're representing the city of Kuprinoff, so the city of Kuprinoff has taken action on this and supported this as a council then as well?
No, I have spoken with the mayor today, and this is consistent with all our previous positions.
Okay, thank you. I just wondered if it was recently addressed. So, all right, thank you for your input on the matter. Okay, so we're still under the visitors' views related to items on today's agenda. Is there anybody else with views related to items on today's agenda? Seeing none, we'll move to the next item, item 9, visitors' views unrelated to items on today's agenda. Is there anybody in the audience with visitors' views unrelated to today's agenda?
Mayor, members of the Assembly, I'm Jim Brennan. I think we've all met at some time. I just met you tonight. But I just wanted to let you know I'm in town as the borough attorney. I'll be here until Wednesday if you can think of anything for me to do. The reason I'm down here, though, is for a hearing tomorrow in court in which I'm defending the Petersburg Borough. So that'll be at 11 o'clock if anybody's interested in coming to the courthouse then. Okay. So hello, everybody, and hi, Cindy. I didn't get a chance to see you here tonight.
Did you hear that, Cindy? Attorney Brennan said hello. Oh, perfect. Okay. Well, thank you, Jim. I understand that you're retiring.
Yes, in May. Oh. We'll be retiring. My partner, Sarah Heidemann, will continue to practice, but yes, I am retiring.
Okay, that's it's unfortunate, but thanks for your service.
Well, it depends on whose viewpoint you're taking. Well,
true. Yeah, it probably is a good idea in your opinion.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, is there any other visitors in the audience today? And for the people listening on the radio, Jim just left, so now there's two people in the audience. So we're hoping for a bigger turnout for the first meeting. But so if there's no other visitors with views unrelated to items on today's agenda, we'll move to the next item, which is item 10, and that's board, commission, and committee reports. I don't see anything listed there, so we'll move to the next item, which is 11, consent agenda. Excuse me. There's no items there. Move to the next item, 12, report of other officers. First item there is the mayor's report. It's kind of a short report. We're still seeking letters of interest. The borough is seeking letters of interest from Petersburg residents willing to serve on the hospital board until the October 2017 municipal election. The hospital board has two vacant seats, so please submit your name if you're interested. And if you're interested, the letters may be addressed to the borough clerk and emailed to dthompson@petersburgak.gov or mailed to Box 329, Petersburg, Alaska, 99833, or dropped off at the borough administration office. And I think we'll have to change that. We're not on 15 North 12th anymore. We're at the old place down on Main Street. Well, Debbie and Cindy were still up there, yeah. Or Mindy, so they're going to move down soon. Next item on the mayor's report is Historic Preservation Commission. Janet Holton, chair of the Historic Preservation Commission, has tendered her notice of resignation. The seat vacated by Ms. Holton is reserved for an archaeologist or at-large member, and the term of this seat ends December 31st of 2017. In addition to the receipt, there is a seat reserved for an assembly member on the Historic Preservation Commission that is currently vacant, and that term is ending 12/31/2019, as is the seat preserved for a planning commissioner, term ending 12/31/2018. So there's three open spots on the Historic Preservation Commission at this time. And the letters of interest can be sent to the same place. Alaska Municipal League took place last week in Juneau. Myself, Assemblymember Lynn, and the manager attended. There was some interesting discussion. As in the last year, though, the budget is looking not so good. There's a couple of things that have been bills that have been introduced in the legislature. Senator Stedman has one that would leave the residents of the state getting $1,700 in the PFD check. The other two are $1,000 and $1,100, I believe, is the other one possibly. But they all institute some kind of taxes, and we'll see how they make it through the legislature. The governor was pretty excited about seeing the session go only 90 days, but from talking with legislators, it doesn't seem that that's going to be likely. The governor is pretty excited about the new Secretary of Interior in the Trump administration. He thinks that it will open up more easier permitting for resource extraction. Senator Murkowski feels the same way, it sounds like, from her presentation, as well as Senator Sullivan. During the conference of mayors, the Fairbanks borough mayor, Carl Castle, and the Anchorage mayor, Mayor Berkowitz, suggested a compact of mayors. What they wanted the mayors to do was sign on to this compact, and they could use the signatures to go use that to solicit support in the legislature or, you know, in other departments in the state. Myself, as well as a few other mayors, didn't see why it was necessary. We already have a conference of mayors that addresses issues from, you know, municipalities all over the state. And my position on it was that I wouldn't sign on to it until the assembly had talked about it and we had public discussion. So that's where we're at. They're asking for a response from the municipalities, so whether we're interested or not. So I just thought I guess we could have a little discussion right now if you'd like about it, but or we could put it on the next meeting for discussion. It won't be talked about till the next AML meeting. Senate Bill 28, which is our the bill that Senator Stedman put in, and the companion bill, House Bill 85 from Jonathan Kreis Tompkins, for the borough to receive another roughly 12,000 more acres of land. According, it was going to be on the Senate floor last Wednesday, but Lisa Murkowski was there to address the joint session of the House and the Senate, so they didn't address any issues, but maybe day after tomorrow it'll be discussed. So if it gets voted on by the Senate, it'll go over to the House side and it'll go to the Finance Committee unless they waive that referral, and then if it passes that, it'll just be for the signature of the governor, and he is in support of it. revenue sharing, I believe in the last few years, $60 million was appropriated by the state. Is that a correct number, Steve? Nodding his head. This year it's going to be there's $90 million in the fund. $30 million will be divvied out between the communities, which will leave $60 million in the fund. There won't be any money added, it doesn't look like, by the governor. So that leaves $60 million for next year to be shared by all the municipalities in the state. And divide that by a third. So that's $20 million divvied up instead of 60 last year, I think. Was the last year of 60 or maybe the year prior to that. But 30 this year and then down to 20. So the heroin discussion was kind of interesting. It's still a big problem, but they have different methods for treating the situation now, and I think the number in November they threw out was maybe 5% chance of recovery, you know, rehabilitation, and now the numbers are higher. So it sounded, and Senator Sullivan, that was in town, is very supportive of funding for this endeavor. So that's about all I had for my report from AML. I'll ask Mr. Lynn if he has anything, or Steve if they have anything to interject here.
I guess the only thing I'd add in is to put a proposal from the Conference of Mayors maybe on the next agenda, if we would, so we can discuss it more.
Yeah,
that'd be okay.
Ask for that, sorry.
And other than that, it still makes Steve and folks' job really hard trying to get a budget up for next year because everything seems to be in motion up there. And that's about all I have.
Yeah, so our bill seems to be making headway for our land selection, so that's good. Hopefully that goes through. And I'm sure Liz is being kept in the loop, so there's a possibility Ray, our lobbyist, might ask me to come up if it goes before the House Finance Committee, and have no idea when that date will be. So, manager's report, Steve. I know you didn't have anything written, did you?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Couple things. You mentioned the budget. What I've asked Jody to do is we're not in a big all-fire hurry to get it finalized and in front of you because we don't really know what the legislature is going to do. So we have statutory limits when we have to get it done by June 15th, but we're going to be listening to the legislature and see what they're doing on stuff and trying to match our schedule to what they're doing so that when we bring it in front of the assembly, we have data that we can actually support and know what's happening. We just don't know how much to cut until we know what they're doing is what it comes down to. So the rest of my update is just purely about the building. Lots of apologies. We moved in a little earlier than we wanted to, but we didn't want to have to pay an additional month's rent at PIA. So we do have some issues here and there, like the speakers. We're also trying to save money by not spending a bunch flying contractors back into town to fix some of these when they're scheduled to be here within a week or two. So we should see a lot of this stuff cleaned up. Punch list items are being tracked by Marty Susord, our construction administrator, and Joe Bertignoli. And they're still making headway on it. Our supervisor in charge of this project had to leave town in an emergency. He had his father became ill. So last couple days, not a lot's been done, but that'll spool back up here pretty quick. But building's useful. As Debbie mentioned, Debbie and Mindy are locked away in a corner somewhere, so you can't find them. They're trying to finalize things, including having to put another packet together for the meeting that's next week. So we'll get that done and start helping them move. We're hoping if weather cooperates that we can move them down towards the end of this week. But if there's a lot of snow on the ground, our movers are also the people who plow snow. So we have another week or two, so we'll play that a little bit by ear. I am 100% moved down here now. So Jody's staff, myself, are all in the building. We've held off on moving Joe, Liz, and Molly for the kind of the same reason, which is don't want to bite off more than we can chew at this point. We'll kind of wait and see how the weather turns out, and then we'll try to get them in here and moved. So that's about it on the building, but I think most people are pretty happy. Staff seems to be getting into unpacking, and we'll see how it goes. If there's questions.
All right, perfect. Any questions of Steve about any other issues that assembly members have? All right, thank you, Steve. Excuse me, got a little bit of a cold still. Next item is unfinished business, and the only item under unfinished business tonight is an ordinance for third and final reading. This is ordinance 2017-01. This is an ordinance amending Petersburg Municipal Code, Chapter 4.12, local improvements to update from city code to borough code and to incorporate the provisions of Petersburg Borough Charter, Article 16, local improvement into the borough code. So I'd entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its third and final reading.
So move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been made by Member Strand, seconded by Member Wallhuter to adopt ordinance 2017-01 in its third and final reading. Is there any discussion on this ordinance? Are you good there, Cindy?
I am.
Okay, perfect. if there's seeing no hands going up or any discussion, clerk, please call the roll.
Eric?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Bob?
No.
Nancy?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Mark?
No. Okay, ordinance 2017-01 passes 5-2 with myself and Member Lynn voting no. So that will move forward. Items under new business, ordinance 2017-02. This is an ordinance amending Petersburg Municipal Code, Chapter 2.44, initiative and referendum to change the timing requirements to submit matters proposed by initiative or referendum to the qualified voters of the borough so that they are the same as submitting a proposed charter amendment to the voters, and to remove any mandate of holding a special election. I'd entertain a motion to adopt ordinance 2017-02 in its first reading.
So move.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made by Member Strand, seconded by Member Castro to adopt this ordinance. Is there any discussion? Eric?
I find the title kind of confusing. But right there at the very end, about removing the mandate to hold a special election, I really do like the idea of that. I think it's important for our community members to have a voice, but not necessarily at the expense of the entire population.
Okay, and I believe we talked about this on Borough Business today, and if I'm not misunderstanding the way it is, the Borough Assembly can still choose if there's an important enough issue presented by someone from the public to request a special election. Okay. Is that right, Debbie?
That is correct, Mark.
Okay, thank you. You have something you want to say?
No, I just came over in case there were questions about the ordinance. I don't like the title necessarily either, but it was written by our attorney, so the title.
So, and this is the first reading, just to remind people in the public that are listening, and when the second reading is brought up at the next meeting, there will also be a public hearing, so it could be discussed more then. So since Debbie's here, is there any questions of our borough clerk? Kurt?
So it says here on the last sentence there, and to remove any mandate of holding a special election. Would that have to be something that the assembly would have to vote on if they want? You know, between mid-elections, or is that going to be something that they could just file a citizen's initiative and then go through that process? So
no,
it would have to come before us?
It would have to come to the assembly, and we would vote on it, okay, whether to have a special election.
Yeah. Just a little clarification. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any other questions of our discussion? Okay, thank you, Debbie. I'll wait for you to get back, and you can call the roll.
Yes.
Aaron? Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes. Excuse me. Ordinance 2017-02 passes unanimously in its first reading. The next item under new business is Resolution 2017-04, and this is a resolution adopting an alternative allocation method for the fiscal year 17 Shared Fisheries Business Tax Program and certifying that this allocation method fairly represents the distribution of significant effects of fisheries business activity in FMA 18, Central Southeast. This is something we do every year, I believe, and we have to do, and I would imagine all the municipalities that can receive funding from this, if they want the funding, have to pass it by resolution. So is there, I'd entertain a motion to adopt this resolution.
So move.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Member Strand and seconded by three assembly members. I'll pick Member Lynn, so it was all kind of at the same time. So any discussion on this resolution? Clerk, please call the roll. Oh, Nancy, sorry.
I have a question. What do, in this list, what do CBS and CBW mean?
City and Borough of Sitka, Marengo.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other questions about the resolution 2017-04? Please call the roll.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Okay, resolution 2017-04 passes unanimously. And now it's new business. It's item 17-054, EDA Federal Projects for 2017. The Trump administration is looking for specific information on shovel-ready projects related to transportation and tourism. Our federal lobbyists request the assembly choose one or two priority projects to submit to the EDA and suggests we keep the federal request at approximately $2 million. So we have Liz Cabrera, our community development director, and Manager Giesbrick came forward to the podium. So I don't know, I imagine we have to make some kind of a motion to select, or just, is this just for discussion? This is...
If I may start off.
Yes.
Yeah. Because Liz needs to kind of explain the whole EDA process to all of us. She knows more about it than I do by far. We got this request from our federal lobbyist asking for, you know, one or two projects, transportation related, shovel ready, and, you know, try to keep it somewhere around $2 million. Okay. That doesn't mean we can't send a whole list of projects to him, but he's asking for something that he can push forward right now and kind of prioritize. So what I need from the assembly, or what we need, is kind of from this laundry list of things or anything else, really, after Liz educates us a bit, what are those projects that you want to push forward? Then he also asked for, and again, this is going to Senator Murkowski's office, we assume that it'll end up going to Senator Sutherland as well, which was a list of other projects in case earmarks get reinstated, and that's where this all started. So, and that's the second part of that list that's kind of non-transportation, various projects. And for everyone's benefit, those are not necessarily a list of projects the Assembly put forward. It's just, I just tried to gather as many ideas from department heads that have been floating around for a while, put them on a list so you guys had something to choose from. So any of these can be taken off the list or others be added. This hasn't gone any farther than us at this point.
Okay, and I would suggest that if we send them to Senator Murkowski's office, they go to Don Young's office and Senator Sullivan's offices as well. Okay, Liz.
So just a really brief overview on EDA programs. Economic Development Administration runs what's called a public works program. And so they put out a call for shovel-ready projects, transportation projects throughout the country. And PDC received one, the borough received one, basically any entity that hasn't been involved with economic development throughout the state received that call. They have a pretty specific format that they want you to follow when you submit your project. And what they're looking for are projects that will generate private sector investment and also job creation. So that's really EDA's, those are their metrics. They have a few other priorities. You know, it'd be great if it was a green project. It would be great if it did a few other things. But really, the numbers and the metrics that they use are based on generating private sector investment and job creation. It needs to be tied specifically to the project and the investment that the federal agency is making. They like to see a 2-to-1 ratio between the private sector being the 2 and the federal being the 1. And about one job for every $25,000 in public investment. It's not a strict number, you know, but that's kind of the what they like to see in their projects that they when they forward them. PDC already submitted Scow Bay itself. It was accepted by EDA and has been forwarded along to the National Review Committee. I don't know if you have a copy of that. Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. So that's basically the formatting that they want to see for projects that get forward. And you'll see there's a summary and there's also kind of an economic description and what we would expect. And those are based on just my phone calls to businesses and estimates from Dick Somerville on job creation. EDA also requested that I put in processor numbers, so that's why those are in there as well. So as far as those projects, I would just say that, you know, we have as good a chance as anybody else, but really looking at projects for that first list that we can really pass the red face test on the private sector and make a really strong connection between the public investment and how that's going to leverage private sector investment and job creation. And then the second list is more of a, I don't want to say free-for-all, but it's more of a free-for-all. Yeah. So.
Bob?
Yeah, a couple questions for you, Liz. The project at Scow Bay, obviously we could put a lot more money in than the $2 million. Is it more positive if we, as we talked about, breaking it up into a small chunk that we could do and get, does that give us more, a better priority on their mind by doing that?
All I can tell you is what the response I got back from them was they're not going to fund a $6 million project. They said maybe a couple $1 million, and I just said that would be great. You know, we can phase this project and,
So you're saying that we could break that project up into smaller bite-sized pieces, so to speak?
I think it will no matter what. just because it is a big project. So,
any other questions about from Liz? So, if I understand you right, PEDC has actually submitted a request for this project to be on their list from the Petersburg Borough.
No, not from the Petersburg Borough, from PEDC.
From PEDC, okay.
Because we are a member of Southeast Conference, and we right. have kind of a list on the regional economic development laundry list that they have of all the projects. So PEDC has its own list in that document, and so we were able to cite, yeah, this project is on that list. It's a priority for the region, and then we submitted it under our own. And I got PEDC got its own invitation and its own request for projects directly
okay.
from EDA.
Just curious how that yeah. worked.
So we didn't do it under the borough. We did
so
it specifically. Now it's your turn.
In front of us. Yeah.
Yep.
Does it factor in on the shovel ready?
So they accepted it as both. It's a transportation is movement of goods and people. So I sort of made that connection that, you know, we're moving. Our highway is the ocean. That's where all of our economy is based. We're moving boats in and out, and it's a transportation project. You know, it's an intermodal transportation project. It's connecting land and water. As far as shovel ready, we are in the process of working on the engineering. They didn't ask any specifics, and so I'm leaving it at that. So
I see it's supposed to be ready by the end of the year. Was that their request, or was that just
they wanted shovel ready like now? And
right.
What I can tell you is based on past experience, when a lot of money has come out of the federal government all simultaneously, which is what it happened in 2008, if you remember, the economy was in a bad way, and President Obama got elected and decided to make a big push on infrastructure projects and just pushed a great deal of money out through existing programs throughout the country. And that was the same situation where you had to have these shovel-ready projects. And that's when Petersburg did the port dock renovation out there. And the reason that we were able to do that was because another community was supposed to get the money, and they, at the last minute, turned it down. And they came here and said, do you have any project? And we said, well, we've got this kind of going, and it was fine. You know, by the time the agency got all their ducks in a row and approved everything, we had the engineering, the design, and the permitting ready to go. So I'm not really worried about that distinction of shovel-ready. I trust the folks that we work with, the engineers that we work with, to get what we need done in a timely manner. You know, so if we knew we had the money, we're going to know way quite a few months in advance before we actually have to do anything. The timeline of how those grants work. It takes quite a while for the agency to line everything out. I was just going to add one other thing, and I forgot what it was. So,
is there value in having the boroughs submit this separately or staying away from it? Helps the project the most.
Yeah. I would just ask that you don't contradict, right? But yeah, it would be wonderful to see it on more than one list, I would think, you know, so that it sort of emphasizes that it is a community priority.
Yeah. Okay. I just need a little clarity here, Liz. So you guys have submitted your own $2 million project through AML, and now we have $2 million in which to prioritize one of our lists. Is that correct, or is this the same $2 million that we're working with?
We're not going to get probably more than $2 million.
So for the whole community. So
yeah, if we're lucky, we'll get $2 million.
If we approve of this, then that's our $2 million investment then. Is that right?
Or we might not get anything at all.
Okay. So my next question is, so you've got, as Bob has had referred to, though, you probably already have what you would like to spend that $2 million on. Would it be the ramp? Would it be the breakwater? Would it be, I mean, how's that broken down on the list? So what is the people going to get for the money?
I don't have it broken down because the engineer hasn't done that. I can tell you it's not going to be the breakwater because that's further along in the project. So what I explained to EDA is we could phase it, and I felt pretty confident that we could still gain most of the economic benefit because that's mostly the boats coming out of the water, even if we phased it at that $2 million. Because I know we could build a ramp in the place where we want it for $2 million. I'm pretty confident of that, at minimum.
So that would be your main thrust then? Because we've got to be able to explain this to the public that it would be a good investment if it indeed we get the money. So.
And we need to be able to explain it to
because I don't want them just to pave the parking lot.
No, we're not.
Okay.
I would need to explain it to EDA. I mean, I guess worst case scenario would be that, you know, we didn't have our act together and we didn't keep the money, just like that other community that lost it last time around. So.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
Or Bob?
Going along with Kurt's question then, what was already submitted was the ramp by?
You have what was submitted.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay.
Yep.
Exact package.
So,
if the assembly chooses to submit that project, we'll just echo it. We'll make sure we submit exactly what the EDC has submitted.
So the submittal that PEDC put in, does that have any kind of a phasing list in it? Do we have to come up with that or no? We just have to say this is the whole project. And if they give us $2 million, then it's up to us to decide the phasing.
And, okay. You have the summary of exactly what I submitted in front of you. It was for the...
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Cindy?
I was going to ask that same question, but I didn't hear Liz's response.
She said they didn't submit a phased list, and you probably don't have what we have in front of us unless Debbie emailed it to you. Oh, you have the same information that we have. Okay. Liz said that's how it was submitted to EDA.
But it shows a $6 million price tag, and I wondered if trying to break it out in phases would be a strategic advantage.
Liz, do you have an answer to that?
As I told EDA, because they came back and said, we're probably not going to be able to fund a $6 million project, which we understood, but I did want to show that it was, you know, an entire idea and project. They came back and said, you know, maximum is probably a couple of million dollars. And I had talked to Dick Somerville, the engineer on the project, and said, you know, this is what we might get. And he said, well, we could probably do quite a bit with that. And so I'm pretty confident that we could phase $2 million and move the project forward with that money.
Okay. Kurt?
I have a clarification, and I'm not even sure if this is the proper protocol, but Mr. Beebe, did you refer something to the ADA's, EDAs? This was something that the city of Kuprinoff was also interested in putting some requests in for, or was that something totally different? Did I misunderstand that?
No, we believe we're aware of this with this.
Okay. So that's a consideration, though, that you want us to keep in mind? Have you guys talked about a number at all that you're looking at?
Well, the state is done.
Mm-hmm. So would that be something that we'd have to talk about, maybe putting on the list at some point, you know, further down the list of... I mean, I don't know.
Are you talking about the Kuprinoff dock?
Yeah.
Well, that's on this list farther down. Now we're talking about the Scalabay. Oh, yeah. So we're I'm kind of confused. But and I think it's not at this point we shouldn't start. If we start involving discussion with the audience, it's not the assemblies. But, you know, I have a hard time keeping track of stuff, so if we start...
I just wanted some clarification. I know he was talking about EAVA.
Right. The Kuprinoff dock is on our list.
Okay.
But it's not. I'm not discussing it right at this point. So, Liz, do you have... Bob, did you have another question?
I was going to walk from this. Liz, then you also have for us the South Harbor Access Improvement.
Right. That's GLOW's project.
That's GLOW's project.
She's not here, so I'm here.
Okay, we can understand that. But as far as return on the investment, it looks to me like Scalabay might give us a better return on the investment.
Right. When we looked at potential new businesses and private sector investment, you know, just having a new ramp wasn't really going to generate people, you know, buying a new boat or necessarily adding money into their boats. But I think we've made a good connection between having a very competitive port for the small cruise ships, and there's some interest in the cruise ships in coming to Petersburg more often. And I know that ramp is a real issue for them. It just gets so steep that a lot of their customers have a hard time navigating it. So I think in terms of making us an attractive port, making it enticing these companies to come here more often and stay longer, you know, I think we can make a solid connection. But that really pales in comparison to the kind of numbers that you could generate when you start talking about commercial fishing. It's, you know, it just doesn't really compare.
Thank you.
Liz.
Eric.
Liz, so this right here is a $6 million project, and if the EDA was able to provide the $2 million, so that would allow the remainder of the $4 million would have to come from private investment? Is that how this the 2-to-1 ratio works?
That would be nice, wouldn't it? But no. So what we would do is just design a $2 million project and only go that far, unless we happen to come up with an additional money from somewhere else.
Okay.
So, and we would have to come up with a match. And it depends. There's a ratio that EDA uses, and I'm not sure right now. I think in the past we've ranged from 10% to 25%, so it just really depends. I think in the past project, when we did the port dock, we covered all of the engineering and design work as part of the match. And it worked out really well because that way we got to handle the contracts directly versus having to go through all of EDA stuff on the engineering contract. So,
yeah, if it was phased, you know, who knows what then we would have to decide if we got the $2 million. What to put first, and it makes sense to replace the ramp, I would think, and then a washdown pad. That's just, you know, talking off the top of my head. But
I would think that we would get a lot of direction from Dick Somerville, where we would get the most bang for our buck, you know. And I generally rely on his expertise in that.
Yeah, like building a big Lego thing. Where do you start?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. All right. So, any other questions of Liz on the explanation of the EDA and how it works? Thanks for the explanation, Liz.
Maybe one more question. Off. So, Liz, is this kind of like these capital improvement projects where we come up with a list and so we put down number one priority, number two priority, number three priority, and then they fund it however they see fit? Or do you want us to solely back one project? So you want me to put your project ahead of Glory Ann's project, and I have to see her every day.
That's a political question.
Well, I wouldn't compare people in that. I would compare what you think is the most valuable to the community.
Yeah. I can kind of speak to what Brad has said to me on the phone. He would prefer one project, about $2 million, that gives them focus to discuss it with Senator Murkowski and Senator Sella and Representative Young. That doesn't mean the rest of these projects are going to go away. I mean, we've written them down for a reason. I'll make sure Brad gets them as, hey, if you get other things that pop your way, here's some general projects with a short description of them. But we're not going to go into great detail. I'm not going to send an EDA write-up on any other project if the Assembly chooses the Scalpay one. We'll send that one to Brad and along with anything else he needs in a short one or two sentences on the rest of these.
Thanks for that clarification, Steve.
Thanks. Bob, anybody else have any other questions about this? So with that being discussed, now are we going to move on to the federal priority list?
Do you want a motion on this one before we move to the other list?
To actually accept this project as the number one project to send in?
That would be helpful.
So then, in a sense, we're making this our number one priority. And I still think it's up to the Assembly. Is there a motion to approve this? To send this?
Can I ask one question first before we...
I didn't interpret this way. I didn't think we were going to actually, during this agenda item, make a recommendation for the ramp or the Scalpay project to be the one we send to EDA asking for the funding.
It's entirely up to the Assembly what you do here. Brad's asking for one project that we can submit to EDA
that, and that's one of the reasons I wanted Liz to kind of explain EDA, because this is a bit of the, we've got a lot of good projects, but what will EDA be most likely to fund becomes the question of the day. Yep. And that's what Liz was trying to go over, I think. Was
I thought you were asking for two lists, ones that were shovel-ready, and that would be separate from the other.
Correct. List. All yeah. the other ones, right. I mean, if the Assembly wants, I mean, you guys can pick and choose. I can send all of those other projects to Brad or none. But for the main question, he needs $2 million worth of projects that best fit the EDA model that he can push forward for us. Everything else, he still wants a list. And I think that has to do with the possibility of earmarks coming back so that they have a whole laundry list of things to pick and choose from.
Have you got any inclination as to what the timeline is on this, for this, our response?
Let's see, the request from Brad came in about 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago.
Okay.
I'm sure it came as a result of a request from Senator Murkowski's office, at least as I read the email, that have the communities get us this information. So timeline to get them information, we're probably getting close. Timeline for when they are going to give money, I don't think there's any idea at this point.
Okay. But your impression is as soon as possible.
That's my impression.
Okay. Wasn't there somewhere in the communications where Senator Murkowski asked by the end of March? Or is that something different?
That was for the 2018 projects, if I read it correctly.
Oh, okay. Right, okay.
So do we have until the next meeting to come up with this decision, or do we need to have it this meeting?
Apparently, he didn't give me a set deadline. So if you want to wait and talk it over at the next meeting, I'm sure you can. I can tell him that the Assembly wants to talk about it more.
So, Nancy?
Liz says here the EDA has already accepted the Ska Bay project for review as a shovel-ready transportation project from PEDC, so it would just be redundant for us to request the same thing, or would it be supportive?
I think Liz said earlier to be supportive for the Borough Assembly to mirror what PEDC did.
Thanks.
So if we are going to choose this as our EDA project to send to our lobbyists, then I'd entertain a motion to mirror what the PEDC's request.
So move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, motion's been made by Member Strand, seconded by Member Loggadakis to send the Scow Bay haul out and work yard for Petersburg, Alaska project to EDA. Discussion? Kurt?
I realize that this is a really important economic, you know, opportunity for Petersburg. I just didn't like the idea that it was just thrust upon me here in just a couple of short minutes to think about, you know, because I just got this piece of paper and, you know, not that I don't think it's a worthy project, but I just feel like I'm being rushed to make a decision here, and I would think it would be in poor taste not to be unanimous if we wanted to see this go forward. So I would probably vote yes for this, but kind of reluctantly.
Okay. Any other discussion on the motion?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
The only thing that I would ask is that we add a little to the discussion saying that the project could be saved and trying to estimate what benefits we would get from each phase of the project, realizing that we wouldn't get the full benefit if we did only part of the project at first.
So then you're kind of thinking we'd need to have a list of how it would be phased?
I think even just saying that the project could be phased, okay, and not necessarily going back to the drawing board at this point, but leaving that door open.
Okay. So you want to add that wording in here somehow? Liz, is that in here without reading through the whole thing again? Can you come back up, please? I don't see it.
I know typically, and I'll just interject this real quick. I know typically when Somerville and those PNND, you know, do projects like this, they have it broken down on what each phase of the project costs. It'd be really handy to know if we could actually put a ramp and a washdown pit in for $2 million. If we can't,
well, then what are we voting on, you know?
Possibly just a ramp. Yep. But that's if this is the most shovel-ready project, and I see it, well, I don't know if there is actually a design for the ramp in the South Harbor either. Is there a design? So it's already, it's a shovel-ready project as well, but it just might not fit as well as involving private enterprise. And I can see the relationship there when you, if you build a ramp at a washdown pad at Scow Bay and with other people that are developing businesses there, and in my opinion, the livelihood or the how long the grids are going to last, you know, this might be an important project. And so, you know, I don't know. So I think that's just my opinion. Jay?
Similarly to yourself, Mr. Mayor, I guess I was confused by the format of Scow Bay, and I thought I was a little taken back in my heels. I guess I read it wrong. But either way, back to your point of and the way I'm reading this, that is really that those two are our most truly shovel-ready projects of the whole kit and caboodle, to break it down simply. Yes?
As far as I know,
yeah.
And I think the ones...
I mean, including the rest on the list, they're not as shovel-ready as the two that are in front of us with the South Harbor and the Scow Bay, correct?
Plus the greatest chance, I think, of generating the most private sector investment and job creation. So,
understood. Thank you.
And that was one of the criteria for this EDA, was to have private sector also involved. Yes. So, okay, it's clearer now for me. Thank you.
Sometimes you have to talk things over a couple of times, which is good. This is important. Steve, did you have a comment?
Well,
I see you standing up.
Read in for maybe the listening audience. This is what Brad sent to us. Was I talked to Senator Murkowski's, and she wanted two lists. One mirrors the EDA shovel-ready thresholds and is limited to transportation. Second will include all project categories with shovel-ready thresholds of 50% engineering completion and permits estimated on hand by the end of the year. So it's kind of like EDA, and it could be 10 different projects, but at the end of this, he says, with a $2 million cap. So Scow Bay kind of sucks up our $2 million if that's the project. So in that vein, we would be putting forward one project that uses that up, and then we'd take all the other projects, and I'd give him a separate list with a short description of each of them and say, and by the way, here's a bunch of others that are out there. If this stuff starts percolating and you need more, keep that in mind, and we'll flesh them out even further. That being said, we can even have the assembly prioritize all the others if you want to go through that effort. In other words, if you chose Scow Bay as your big one and said, Steve, put all the others on a list and send it to him, you can put it, I can just say not prioritize, or a week, or the assembly can actually prioritize those.
Okay, I've been through this prioritization of lists before for the state level, and sometimes it takes a whole separate meeting, and there's a lot of stuff on this list. So, not that it's not important, but I guess if we submitted this as our EDA funding selection, and then when we go over the rest of the list, if we desired, then the South Harbor ramp could be the first priority, and maybe the EDA, is that going to be sent to the EDA as well, or no?
At this point, no, because Scow Bay...
would be the EDA request. Okay, so that's... Okay, so if we want to ask more than one project from EDA, but since this has already been vetted by PEDC...
Well, they've got all the paperwork done on it.
Right, so this might be the farthest end. Okay, I guess I'm talking to myself here, but...
And by the way, all of this is a moving target because there's been no infrastructure program announced by the Trump administration. It's just been talked about in the back halls. So our lobbyist is trying to respond to something that hasn't even been initiated. I mean, EDA is real, but as far as amounts of money and whether it's going to be a big, huge thing or not, or very small, no one knows yet. And so what Brad and his firm are trying to do is be prepared in case it blows up and they issue a whole bunch of money, that Petersburg's got a whole bunch of projects or at least ideas sitting out there ready to go.
Okay.
One project.
No, it's giving them manager a thumbs up saying,
so Cindy, are you good with what we're doing here? Any other comments I should ask?
So are we prioritizing this list, or we're just sending the list as sort of a blanket thing?
Well, I think what we're discussing right now is the motion to send the Scowl Bay Haulout and Workyard project as a our only request to EDA.
Okay.
And then we will go over the rest of the list and maybe just prioritize a handful and put, you know, my opinion would be put the shovel, that next shovel-ready project on top and go from there. But we're not, we're just discussing that one motion, which is to send the Scowl Bay project to the EDA for a request. Okay. All right. Well, is there any other discussion? Okay. Clerk, call the roll.
Jay?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Okay. That passes unanimously. So that was not as confusing as we made it sound, I don't think, once we talked about it for half an hour. But okay, the next item on the agenda is 17-055, fiscal year 2018 federal priorities. I'd entertain a motion to form a priority list or and a list of projects to send to our federal delegation.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made by Member Greger, seconded by Member Lynn. We have a fairly long list of projects here. Where am I at? Bear with me, folks.
Can I copy it, Mr. Mayor?
I've got it here, but I guess I'm let me back up here a little bit. I guess if this, we should have maybe taken some from our prior list, since I don't see the, or am I just missing it? I don't see the ramp on here.
The ramp is on there.
Okay. All right. All right. Bear with me. Okay. Here's the list. And how do we, I know Secure Rural Schools, PILT, Army Corps of Engineers, Section 107 program. I'm just reading this for the listing public. South Harbor, Pink Salmon Disaster Funding, U.S. Coast Guard Base, the new 155-foot class cutters in Petersburg, Scowl Bay Boat Haulout, South Harbor ADA Ramps, Fire Police Emergency Communications, Southern Sea Otter Management, Expand Native Alaskan Harvest, FAA Reauthorization, Support of Essential Air Service, and those are the items on the list. We could add to that or take from them. Any ideas?
Yeah.
Bob?
So have to be shovel ready?
50%, right? Is that no?
The direction we were getting from the lobbyist on this one is unclear beyond my ability to explain. Some of these are just programs, so there's not a 50%
right.
thing. I'm not sure why he threw those on. We have a standard list that we use on SRS, PILT, Coast Guard, that aren't really tied to a project as much as they are programs that we want them to continue to keep an eye on. So that's going to be – I'm going to send that separate to them. The actual projects, that which would be the ramp, the Scowl Bay terminal we've already talked about, some of these paving jobs like the airport access road and stuff, I'm going to put those on a totally separate – he's going to get two lists is what it amounts to. One that is project-related, the other which is program-related, SRS, PILT, the salmon, pink salmon disaster.
Okay, that's, I guess that's kind of where my confusion came in, because I'm looking at this list and it does not include any of, like, the bypass road.
No. Well, he hasn't seen, those yet.
Right.
Yeah, and that what you're reading came directly from...
This is from Zeb. Yeah,
yeah, and he hasn't. Sure. I have not sent these to him. This whole list of projects until the assembly had a chance to look at them.
Yeah, so all the ones that he's proposing really are programs that we either want to support or we're have some interest in.
Yes, sir. And he's mixed in a couple of projects that he's that we've already talked to him about, but he doesn't have a full list. So again, he'll get two, when the assembly's done, he'll get two lists. He'll get one which are the programs that we continue to want the lobbyists to talk about with our representatives. Mm-hmm. So Secure Rural School.
Which is what we're looking at right now under this agenda item.
Yes, sir. And then all of those other projects that were on that first agenda item that I threw out there, I'll give them to him with a short description, if that's okay with the assembly, and say, here's other projects we have that are sitting out there. If you find something and become of interest, let us know, and we'll give you more detail.
So on that first list, just to, from my, all of them are really programs, with the exception of the Scow Bay Boat Haul Out, the South Harbor ADA Ramp, and the Fire Police Emergency Communications.
Correct. That's so, all just programs.
So those three then would come back in.
They would go to the project list. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Mann?
Yes, Cindy.
I have a question on the taxi stop and the coupon off facility. Because we don't have ownership of those, and we even accept funding for those?
I had the same question.
I mean, I would like to put them higher up on the priority list, but I don't even know that it would do us any good.
You know, that's my feeling as well. We don't own them, so, and I don't know what to expect for an offer, if we're going to get another offer from the state at this point. But, yeah, I did run into.
Given that, I would say let's drop those two to the lowest priority, not because they're not important, but because the may not be the right time and avenue for those projects.
And that is not under this discussion, under this motion, though, because they're not on this particular list. We're looking at all the. That's why it was. I was kind of confused, and it is confusing. So I think we might have to go back, or maybe put on our next meeting. We could address this in our next meeting. Come back and discuss the list of
all the other projects.
All the other projects, and just because, yeah, I mean. We're discussing something now that doesn't even have those in the motion. Is that, I think I'm making sense.
I'm following you.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you. And it was kind of encouraging, one of the discussions I had with Senator Sullivan over the weekend about Secure Rural Schools. In fact, Steve heard the discussion too, so he's hoping that on a decision that's been made back in D.C. or discussion that you know, if you support this, I'll support that type of deal. So hopefully that will come through for one more year. And I guess I could have said this under the mayor's report, but on this list, I guess so it's good talk about it. The U.S. Coast Guard base here in Petersburg, he was very interested. So his staff, Sherry Klein, took pictures of the housing, of the moorings, and he is going to try to get an answer for us, if nothing better than that, of what our chances are of getting a larger cutter here in Petersburg. So, anyway, I don't know. So this list doesn't even really need to be prioritized.
No, sir. It's our standard program list that we have sent to them even before my time.
Okay.
But that being said, the assembly has the right to delete things, add things.
We can make an amendment to the motion and add whatever project from the other list to this list if we'd like, or address it at the next meeting, which is only
a week away.
Just a question. Should we be adding, Stikeen River and Clean Waters that are – to I'm just a question at this point. And, you know, are the letters to Secretary State, asking for international water, the treaty.
Oh, the joint river or the transboundary river issue?
Yes, I couldn't think of the.
Cindy?
No, I'm just. I hadn't forgotten about that.
You know, and that discussion came up yesterday morning in an open house at the Glacier Express. Coffee shop, and someone was concerned that this delegation hadn't done enough to ask for that with the prior administration, and Senator Sullivan mentioned a letter he had written to Secretary Kerry, former Secretary Kerry, and so it's been sent to the state, or to the federal government, and Senator Sullivan and Lieutenant Governor Mallott are going to be traveling to Canada to meet with their federal government. So the issue's still there, or being discussed. We could add that to the list if we want to ask through this administration for the International Joint Commission to be.
Yeah. Well, I guess what's the pleasure, you know.
Would you like to make an amendment to add that to the list?
Yeah, I would, to add the Transboundary Rivers to the list, the program list.
And in that, ask the federal delegation to ask for the International Joint Commission to be
put in play.
Probably not the right word to use, but Debbie will come up with some proper language. So is there a...
And I will second that, whatever that was.
Well, let's add the Transboundary River discussion to this list to the federal delegation as a priority to Pilt and Secure Rural Schools. So any discussion on that? Okay, clerk call the roll on the amendment. You got that, Debbie?
Yep.
We could talk about it later.
We will. Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Okay, so we've made an amendment to the original motion, and we've added the request for the International Joint Commission to be put into play on the Transboundary River issue. So is there any other amendments to the list? If not, will the clerk call the roll on the list as amended?
Yes.
We have the list of programs and the project list. Are we just taking all the projects from this previous?
We were going to address those at the next meeting. Now we're just talking about the policy or the Secure Rural Schools, Pilt, now the Transboundary River issue, down through the FAA reauthorization.
And then we'll prioritize the other.
At the next meeting.
Yeah, on the 6th. We'll talk about it and add to, delete from the list or whatever.
Okay.
I think that'd be the simplest way at this point. Mm-hmm. So would you please call the roll?
Yes, I will.
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Okay, so we will send the list as amended, and on the next meeting agenda, we will talk about the project's priority list, the bypass road, et cetera. Okay, that brings us to communications. We have a letter from Holly Wingy, I think, or I don't know if I pronounced that right. Sorry, Holly, if I didn't, regarding the use of sodium fluoride in Petersburg's drinking water. So I'd enter, this is just for discussion. And Carl and Debbie have put together some information on the history of it. Carl, could you explain the brief history of this? So, I would probably mess it up so the listening public knows how it was put into play. And it's been voted on how many times by the public?
Votes that we know of. That believe.
Yeah.
Have been taken over the years. Community First voted to add fluoride to the water supply in 1986. Second vote? When it was an initiative?
It was not.
Oh.
The assembly. Actually, back then, during assembly discussion, the council could make decisions. They could have votes and everything. And on July 20th of 1998, the assembly, one of the members, sorry, I keep saying assembly, one of the council members made a motion to put the question on the ballot. Because there had been discussion about it in the community. Someone seconded it, and it passed 4-3, and that's how it got on the ballot. So there was no initiative.
Oh, okay. So that was how it got voted on the second time?
Right, yes. Correct.
Okay, and the most recent?
Correct.
So the reason for fluoridation is dental health.
Mm-hmm.
That was the reason it came up in the first place. That's the reason it passed the second time it was voted on. There's a tremendous amount of information regarding the benefits of fluoridated water to dental health. And the amount of money that it saves all of the residents that drink fluoridated water is astounding. For every $1 that's spent on fluoridation, it saves $38 in dental repairs. So that stat in itself is pretty eye-opening. When I did some recent research just to get updated again on the issue, because it's been a while since I've looked at it, the first thing that popped up was the fluoridation facts report from the American Dental Association. Dentists across the country support fluoridation of our water supply. And to me, that says a lot. When dentists who could be making a lot more money if we didn't fluoridate our water are standing up and saying this is the right thing to do, then that means something to me. They're doing it because it's good for public health. The arguments that Ms. Wingy makes are the same arguments that were brought up in 98 and probably the same arguments that were brought up in opposing it in 86. People don't like to be told that they have to be medicated, by a public source. And so that is a problem for folks. I, from my personal experience, I think that the fluoridation of our water supply has made a big impact. I grew up on non-fluoridated water. I've got a lot of fillings in my mouth. My kids grew up on fluoridated water. They don't have any fillings. So I think it makes a difference, and it sure saves a lot of money. In this day and age where insurance costs are rising and rising, the small amount that we spend on fluoridation, I think, saves a lot of money for people and helps out with the insurance situation overall. I did a calculation. Roughly, we spend about $1.40 per person per year in Petersburg fluoridated water. It's a very small amount.
Well, thanks for that information. And just for the listening audience, the borough has supplied us with this fluoridation facts by the American Dental Association. And this would be available for anybody to
sure. I'd be happy to make copies or email.
Okay, so Jay?
A couple of things. One of them for you, Carl. But first, I want to thank Ms. Wingy for taking the time to send us this. I feel like I've got a large research project in front of me, so I look forward to it. Carl, just to be devil's advocate with you then why are Petersburg and Sitka the only communities in Southeast at this point using fluoride? It's such a great thing for the community.
Well, I really don't have an answer for that. I don't understand it. The trend across the nation is an increase in fluoridation. Trend in the state of Alaska is a decrease, and I'm not really sure why that is. I don't have an answer. I haven't researched every vote where that's come up and to know what the issues are, but it's a fact that fluoridation in Alaska is decreasing.
Correct. Yeah.
Fluoridation in the nation is increasing. I know that right now the municipality of Anchorage is undertaking their own fluoride questions. And their assembly has basically taken a stance that it's not going to be on the ballot by a vote of 9-2 recently. Said, "Oh, we're going to fluoridate, and that's the way it is." So it is a very large argument, and there are lots of good arguments on both sides of the issue, but I can't answer that question.
Cool. Well, I look forward to some research. Thank you.
Thank you, Carl. Is there any other questions of Carl? Cindy, do you have any questions on this matter? Or want to add to the discussion?
I don't have any questions, but I was told that the last time that this came up for a vote, and I did not live in town, so this is secondhand information and somebody who's lived there longer can clarify. But my understanding is that when the vote came up to approve or disapprove putting fluoride in the water, the local dentist threatened to leave if the vote was not put fluoride in the water. And I've done a little of my own personal research from Mayo Clinic, and the information about fluoride was more positive than negative. And everything in moderation, any chemical can be a poison, but I don't think that the level that's being put in our water poses a major health threat.
Okay, thank you for that. And I vaguely remember the discussions at the time, the last time it was brought before the public, and I believe Dr. Sprague and Dr. Beardsley both supported leaving it in the water supply. So is any other discussion on this letter from Holly? And thank you for submitting your concerns, Holly. Seeing none, that'll end that discussion. Thank you, Carl, very much. Next item is assembly discussion items, and Mr. Wallhooter wanted to add a discussion on the dock in Hobart.
Yes, I previously here, just about less than a week ago, I've heard all this discussion about how bad the dock was in disrepair in Hobart Bay, and I had talked to several other people around here that actually used it from time to time. And so anyway, I just submitted some pictures here so that everybody could kind of see exactly what the disrepair was. And after talking with the mayor and seeing how we turned down the state's offers for these docks, we're not even sure we're going to get any funding for any of the docks. So I just wanted to throw this out there that if this was a consideration, we might be able to get by cheaper than the $100,000 they'd take away from us to possibly renovate this or at least go up and take a look at it. I talked to Mike Bangs, and he said he'd be willing to run up there and take a look at it and do a dive survey on it to see what kind of condition it was in, come back with more pieces so we could present it to the assembly. And then, of course, I understand the liability issue. Well, I looked into how the Juneau Lighthouse Association has the responsibility of taking care of Five Finger Light. Cape Decision is a society out of Sitka. And then Point Retreat is also a society out of Juneau that watches after these things. So I was wondering if there was some way or somehow that we could come up with the Friends of Hobart Bay, if that's what we want to do, and then pass the liability onto them. And, you know, I mean, just some things to throw out there. We need more pieces, but I'm just saying that maybe before we consider taking $100,000 off the table, if they do accept, you know, if we do take their offer and, you know, and maybe just throw $30,000, $40,000 at the renovation, if that's all it would take, and then turn it over to somebody else. So anyway, just wanted to put it out there that just kind of thinking outside of the box.
That's might be a good discussion point if the state comes back with another offer, and I would think they would at some point, because my opinion is they don't want the docks themselves, mm-hmm. but they offered them to us in the first place. But
the other thing would be to find a nonprofit, you know, like, you know, Five Finger Lighthouse, if that was something that they would want to incorporate, because it's just fairly close to where they're at, mm-hmm. and it might be something that they could, you know, take on. So, I mean, I wasn't going to go any further than just that, until we found out if it was something that we wanted to look into.
Right. So I guess, you know, is there any other ideas on this discussion item by the assembly?
Really good way to be able to fund, you know, these resources that otherwise wouldn't be. You know, I was speaking with, over the last week, speaking with one of the workers who worked down at Cape Decision. And they were speaking of, you know, just like the community spirit and the drive that they all have, you know, to work on this you know, piece of infrastructure that, you know, is kind of past to guy gone days, you know, and bygone days, you know. So it's you know, it'd be great to be able to see it if that could happen. I like the idea of, you know, community driven projects like that. And
Carl. That's
it.
Thanks. Yeah, I would still be concerned if we do to get another offer from the state. If we do take the dock over, then we own it. We have the liability, unless we could get our charter changed, like we're talking about doing, where, you know, we could transfer the dock from Kuprinoff to Kuprinoff, and if someone else wanted the one on Entrance Island, I personally don't see the value to the borough of Petersburg to have that dock and worry about the liability and maintenance. But if someone could find a better use within our borough and legally we could convey it to them and not have any liability, I mean, that would be their issue.
Yeah, one of the things I was just thinking of was that how much the state was going to take away from the funding if they do offer us that $700,000 or whatever it was. You know, that they were talking somewhere in the neighborhood of $120,000 to take away from us if they had to remove it. And I was just thinking if we could entice, you know, say the Five Finger Lighthouse people there, you know, to take it over, mm-hmm. if we were to throw a little money at it and get it up out of the water, and so that it was usable for them. And so anyway, it was just somehow just saving a little bit of money if that was possible. I mean, yeah, I realize it's complicated, but, you know, just kind of like thinking outside of the box.
Jay?
No, it can't hurt to think outside the box.
Let the assembly know when we were the hotel we were staying at in Juneau ran into someone, and I'm horrible with names. I recognized the guy. It was Mike Neusel from the commissioner of DOT. We looked at one another, and we both were thinking the same thing. What do we want to do? We want to talk about these docks again. And so I told him, well, I'll be back in Juneau on the 12th. Maybe we could just have a cup of coffee or talk, no formal action. But I could, if the assembly wants, I could ask him what he thinks the state's position is on this dock situation right now, so we at least have a feeling where the state could be coming from. Does that plan?
We didn't get a chance to meet with the commissioner while we were up there, but this is one of the areas where I think that we need to spend some time. And that being is what are we, when I said at the last discussion at the meeting before, what are we willing to do? If we were to, for instance, put either a Kuprinoff or Papke's on our list of projects to go to Washington, would they then be willing to take it over and to build it or to remodel it, and then we take it over? You know, what are the options? Are they willing to put money into building a shovel-ready project for those? We haven't had those discussions. Yes, I agree we have a position, but those are the kind of discussions I think we need to have take place. And I agree with Mark that it all, once we do that, it all needs to be discussed in an open forum on it. But I really do believe those kind of discussions need to take place on all those.
Cindy, do you have any input to this discussion?
No, I'm following along, but I don't have anything to
add. Okay. Well, if it's all right with the assembly, then I'll just kind of put out a feeler to the commissioner to see, you know, they might not even take up, you might not even say, you know, so I guess it's a new year and we'll see what happens. Another thing that wasn't listed under discussion items was our next meetings. And I'd like to see if we'll have a quorum for the next few meetings. I will be leaving on probably the 16th. I better get on the right next month here. Looks like the next meeting will be March 6th. I will be here for that. I will not be here for the meeting on the 20th. And Jody was wondering if we can confirm with the assembly at the meeting tonight that we will have a quorum on April 3rd. I have scheduled the Board of Equalization for the same day at 3 p.m. on property evaluation disputes. After their noon assembly meeting, if there are no appellants going to the Board of Equalization, then I will just have Mike Renfro give a brief talk at the noon assembly meeting. I've actually already printed the date and time of the assessment notice on the assessment notices, and they get mailed on Tuesday. So, but I mean, that makes sense. We need to see if we're going to have a quorum. Sorry, Jody, I shouldn't have left that part out. Next time I will.
I should be here for the 3rd, but like you, I won't be here for the 20th. But it's likely I could be bringing a load of herring back on the 20th. So if I am here, I'll be here. But if not, I'll call in.
They're talking the 6th and the 20th there?
Yes.
Yeah. So on April 3rd. So let's say the meeting gets done at 1:30. We're going to wait till 3 to do the Board of Equalization.
If there is any people appealing, if they haven't already hashed it out with the assessor, which... Last year, did we have any Board of Equalization? I don't think we did. All right. So what's everybody think about the meeting, the next meeting on the 6th? I think
I'll be here.
Okay. Kurt will be here. I'll be here. Looks like we're going to definitely have a quorum for that. 20th, Kurt and I will be gone. Will there be four other assembly members? Cindy, will you be back on the 20th of March?
Yeah, I won't be back for the 6th, but I will be back for the 20th.
Okay. So it looks like we should have a quorum for that. And, you know, there's a chance that I'll be back on the 3rd. It depends on how herring pounding goes. So, but besides Kurt and I possibly being gone, will we have a quorum for that?
I'll be here on the 3rd.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So we've had that discussion item taken care of. Any recognitions?
So I realize this is 2 weeks late, but I'd like to recognize the accomplishments of 9 of our community's high schoolers who recently completed the 16-week junior firefighter program. One has completed their second year of junior firefighters and is now eligible to move directly into the volunteer firefighter program and wear a pager to respond to calls. The other 8 students will be on biweekly drills with Devin Bennett and other volunteers until the end of April. There are many factors that go into the successful operation of teaching and building students into future firefighters for our community, and I would like to thank Devin, his team, and the transitioning students a huge congratulatory thanks for all their dedication. Thank you.
Thanks, Eric. That was nice. Yeah, and thank you, everybody that participated in that junior firefighters program. Is there any other recognitions? Well, we could recognize we're in a nice assembly chambers now. We could add that, so that's pretty nice. So, if there's no other recognitions, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, helping clients find out how to protect any valuable asset, from stamp or teacup collections to houses and boats of all sizes and everything in between. Plenty of information from the local agents is available. Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, 772-3858.